Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome into A to Z Sports Primetime from the Zen Sports Studios. I'm your host, Buck Rising. If you're new to the show, hello, happy draft week. We're happy to have you. And I'm proud, as always, to be presented to you by the wonderful people at Two Rivers Ford. Quality American-made Ford vehicles and award-winning customer service is what they offer. Two Rivers Ford in Mount Juliet or online at tworiversford.com, the South's most trusted Ford dealer. Of course, TrueMav Fitness, where I will be on Friday morning after the stresses of the first round. On Thursday night, I'm going to make my way to TrueMav on Friday. I'm going to get a little personal training session in. You don't have to get personal training at TrueMav if you don't want to. You can sign up for one of their great group fitness classes. Your first one is free at TrueMavFitness.com. And Zen Sports, download the app. Bet on the NHL playoffs, the NBA playoffs, the Major League Baseball also going on as well, and UFL football currently taking place. All your favorite major sports you can wager on with the promo code ATOZTN in the Zen Sports app. All right, kids, we have finally arrived at the finish line, or at least at the finish line, the start of the finish line, right? Which is Thursday. Tomorrow, it is going to be electric. Derek says, thank you for making the show free, sponsors. Yes, can we all collectively say thank you, sponsors, for making the show free? Because whoever was in the, we love the sponsors. Yes, Lucas. Thank you, Luke. Lucas, Derek, you get the show. Mwah. I love you for it. We appreciate that, and we appreciate the sponsors even more. So, with all of that being said, this is going to be an electric draft. I think there's a bunch of different scenarios that can play out. I saw a Peter Schrager tweet today that said he talked to somebody in the NFL who expects there to be 10 first-round trades, potentially even more. And I think that sounds like a lot. We always talk about all this kind of crazy action in the first round of the NFL draft. Very rarely does it take place, at least at the rate that the media hype kind of projects. This is a complicated draft, and it could see a handful of movement. You could see a lot of people trying to come up in the draft order to get not just quarterbacks, but wide receivers, the offensive line. Depth is plentiful in this draft, so maybe not a ton of movement there, but you don't know how teams have these various prospects stacked on their board, and they could value one particular player or one particular position group. Brock Bowers, for example, I don't know that a team is going to trade up for him, but this is going to be a draft that has some intrigue in the first round, even if all the projected action doesn't take place. The Patriots are probably going to stick and pick a quarterback at three, but the Cardinals are probably going to trade out at four and make some noise with some additional picks. The Giants could very well take a quarterback, even though that would be malpractice around Daniel Jones after giving him a contract and deciding 6 games into that contract and an injury that Daniel Jones is no longer going to be your quarterback of the future. That doesn't seem like good business, but still, teams do dumb shit all the time, right? And that's what makes the draft fun, because every year there's one that leaves us scratching our heads, like, for example, taking Trayvon Walker over Aiden Hutchinson a couple of years ago, you dopey Jags, and all the ripple effects that that has for years to come and not just in the upcoming season. So it will be a great time had by all, I think, and I do look forward to this particular draft, because this is a very, very important draft for the Tennessee Titans to get right. And so with that being said, the place that I want to start is the obvious, because the obvious thing that you have been told that you're going to do over and over and over again is draft Joe Alt. Now, as I told you to start the show, if you made me pick between one player and the field to end up on your football team, I'm going to take the field every time, because there's just too much randomness that happens here. But I'm going to play for you some Greg Cosell analysis, And I wonder what you make, and you've heard Greg talk about Joe Alt before, at least most of you have heard Greg talk about Joe Alt before, and it's not in as glowing terms as the rest of the NFL seems to talk about Joe Alt. Though, Greg is not the only person in football analysis and scouting that holds this opinion of Joe Alt that you'll hear in a second. So the question that I'm going to ask you, it's your Two Rivers Ford take, here in the comment section on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and on Twitch. How many NFL prospects would you take with the 7th overall pick? If the draft was up to you, how many prospects would you take at 7 before you took Joe Alt? We'll talk about it together on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. Right after I remind you that your Two Rivers Ford take is presented by Two Rivers Ford. Quality American-made Ford vehicles and award-winning customer service is what they offer. The South's most trusted Ford dealer is Two Rivers Ford, where they always sell all their new non-specialty Fords below MSRP. Just 7 miles east of Nashville International Airport, I'm a Two Rivers Ford customer, so is DeAndre Hopkins, and so many other hundreds of thousands, even millions of Middle Tennesseans over the course of the last 40 years have been Two Rivers Ford customers because of that great award-winning customer service that they offer and their prices that can't be beat. TwoRiversFord.com for more information. How many prospects would you draft with the 7th overall pick before Joe Alt if the draft was up to you? Billy Jean Season says, Buck, you're going to break some hearts. I don't think so. Listen, I'm just trying to make you smarter about your draft analysis because I feel like we can get married to one name, right? And the draft is so much more than the first round, which makes even that concept to me pretty silly because the bulk of your team, the much more important days, day three is arguably more important than round one, right? Round one or day one only has one round. Day three has four through seven, right? You have a lot of action happening on those days of the draft, and that's where you're building the bulk of your team in those later stages. Day two and day three are infinitely more important than day one, but day one is the thing that we always kind of latch on to. They're the best prospects. You've seen them play the most. They're the most famous prospects. They play at the most famous organizations or universities. They play in the most famous conferences, right? The SEC, the Big Ten, the Power Five, typically. Most of them are playing for national championships or at least competing in college football playoffs and all these kind of things. So it's easy and understandable that you get locked on to just one player. But it's silly. Why would you do that when that's not at all what NFL organizations do, or at least not good NFL organizations do? They prepare multiple scenarios to be able to draft multiple players that work for them. And fortunately for you, at 7, your cup runneth over with options that will make your football team better because your football team's been pretty shitty and talent deficient in the last 2 years. And all you can do is improve unless you really, really botch this in ways that are clear and obvious. And, you know, I'm not going to say that they can't because there's always the potential for it, but I don't think that there's any indication that this staff, this coaching staff, this front office structure under Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan, there's no sign of incompetence to date. So we'll let this play out, right? Rand said on, what was that? When did we talk to Rand? Was it Tuesday? Rand said on Tuesday that he was treating this like his first draft because last year was a different coach, a different scheme, a different setup. This is something that, is going to be very interesting, very curious to watch play out. So how many different players would you draft number seven overall if you were to make the pick yourself? How many players would you take before you took Joe Alt? On Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch, we can read some of the commentary. Jody Newell says 3. Daniel Perez says only 2. 1, says Bryce Erickson. He is staunchly in the camp of Neighbors or Alt. Typically looking like 2 or 3. Malik Neighbors or Marvin Harrison, says Wyatt. Neighbors and Harrison Jr. over Alt. 4, the 3 wide receivers, and then Alt, says Lucas Burke. So he's going all 3 wide receivers. But again, the question that I'm asking you is how many players would you take before you took Joe Alt if you had the ability to make the selection at 7? Or, you know, potentially a trade back is also viable. There are a lot of different ways that you can go with this. But it sounds like, for Greg Cosell, the number is a lot bigger than three or maybe even four. Greg and I broke down the best strategy for the Titans draft today on the podcast. The podcast, of course, called The Install. By the way, we're doing a live show with Rand Carthon on Friday, May the 3rd. And if you want tickets, they're available at 104. Oh, no, wait, they're not available because we sold it out, because we crushed it, because we sold 300 tickets. And I told you that you had to buy your tickets before. I told you that Rand Carthon was going to be a part of the show, and 200 of you were smart. You did that before the last 100 sold out. We sold 68 in one day, and the rest went in the very next day. And then Two Rivers Ford bought up a bunch of their tickets, bought up a handful of tickets that were remaining because, of course, Two Rivers Ford, as they always do, is supporting that and the live podcast with Rand Carthon and with Greg Cosell and with 300 of you in the house at the Analog Room in the Hutton Hotel will be on Friday, May the 3rd. And I can't sell you any more tickets because I have no more to sell. So we're very excited about that. We can't wait to see all of you guys who did buy your tickets. And if you didn't buy tickets, it's okay. Don't stress. We're going to release that in the podcast feed. And we're also going to put the YouTube or the video component on YouTube in pieces in the weeks following the draft, because Greg and I are going to take some time off in the post-draft. We are going to divvy the three-hour live show, including the sessions with Rand, into six different episodes. So you will get those trickled out in the Install podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts, or you can also subscribe to 104.5 The Zone on YouTube, and you will see the videos in the same sequence over the course of the 6 weeks following May the 3rd. So that will be great. You guys will still get it. You're just not going to get it all at once. And also, you're not going to get a live bar and the after party at Tin Roof that we're going to be a part of, and also your GM in person. But next year, when I tell you, you better buy your tickets before I sell out. Next year, more of you will listen to me, one would imagine. Anyway, that is going to be a lot of fun. But in talking to Greg Cosell on the podcast today, because we had to preview the Titans draft before we can review the Titans draft on Friday, May the 3rd, Greg gave me the opinion that he's been pretty consistent on, which is that he frankly just didn't love Joe Alt's tape, and that not only would he take the three wide receivers before he would take Joe Alt, he would also draft Brock Bowers before Joe Alt if both were available at 7 overall.
I mean, Bowers to me, so much stood out that it was difficult to focus on one particular trait, where you went, oh yeah, that's the one thing he does great. He does a lot of things great. I mean, he's got really strong but very soft hands. He catches almost everything away from his frame. And what he does exceptionally well, and I'm not sure a lot of people think about this, is he seamlessly transitions to run after catch after he catches the ball. So there's no hitch in his giddy-app, as it were. He just catches the ball, and all of a sudden it seems as if he's at top speed. And he's got unbelievable balance in the open field. He's got strength in the open field. He's elusive. He's got burst. He's got speed. He can take it to the house. I mean, he's a weapon. He's a home run hitter. He just has really high level traits. So, but again, he is theoretically a tight end. So when you draft him, you have to decide exactly how you're going to deploy him in the context of your offense.
I'm curious, Greg, because so that goes on at some length. The latest episode of The Install with Greg Cosell, it's already available on 104.5 The Zone's YouTube channel. You can go watch that full episode because we previewed the entirety of the Titans draft, the team building philosophies, and the approach that this organization is taking in shifting from Mike Vrabel to Brian Callahan and that kind of school of thought in the modern day NFL. And while you're there, make sure you like the video, because always, as just as you need to like the video here, you can like the video there. And if you're not subscribed to 104.5 The Zone on YouTube, I'm going to fight you, because you should be already, because there's a lot of good stuff going on there. All right. So how many players would you draft before Joe Alt? I don't know that I would take Bowers before Alt. I get Greg's logic. I understand what he's saying. Team need does not supersede best player available. But the tackles thing needs to be rectified. And I am, here's why I'm glad that I'm not a general manager, because I would take him. I would take him, and I would want the left tackle over and done with. I would probably overdraft Joe Alt at 7 overall, just to have the left tackle solution over, wash my hands of another offseason of tackle talk. I don't want to do it. I don't want to watch any more offensive tackles, even though I know they still need a right tackle and they're probably not going to get that out of this year's draft. I'm sick of talking about tackles. It's been five straight offseasons since Jack Conklin walked in free agency and went to the Cleveland Browns. And ever since then, I've been talking about tackles, screwed up picks at tackle. No team, there are precious few teams. I'll pull up the graphic from Warren Sharp earlier today because this was really, really telling. The Titans, he put out a graphic courtesy of sharpfootball.com. Total draft capital used to draft offensive linemen in the last 5 years. According to this chart, the Titans have used the fifth most draft capital on offensive line in the last 5 years, and they're still in the shitter. Like, that is unbelievably bad. Unbelievably bad. But that's not how NFL general managers work. They're not just going to take the left tackle for the sake of taking a left tackle, because that's what a coach would do, right? A coach would say, just give me a left tackle. I need to win a game on Sunday. I need to win the next game. What's the next game? I need to win the preseason game. I need to get him ready. I need to get him in camp. This, that, and the other. But that's not how general managers do or should think, right? Coaches are much more narrow focused. General managers have to make sure that they build a solid foundation for this to be a sustainable winning product for years to come. Now, maybe Alt is the solution there, but I'm with Greg on the three wide receivers. If any of the three are available at the same place at seven overall where the Titans pick, and Joe Alt is on the board, I would be 100% comfortable with the Titans taking any of the three wide receivers over Joe Alt. That is where I'm at with this particular thing. Bowers, I guess if I'm going to take all three wide receivers, then I should probably, yeah, I think I would take all four. I think I would take all four. There's not a tackle that I would take over him. There's not a defensive player that I would take over him. So I'm going to go four. I would say all three wide receivers and the tight end, I would take them over Joe Alt. That's where it's at. And it's going to be fascinating to see what they end up doing and how much action they actually get, because a lot of these teams are going to make trades until they're on the clock. And I really think that the action is going to start loudly at four with the Arizona Cardinals. All right, so buy or sell. There's another wide receiver that got a contract today. Amon-Ra St. Brown became the highest paid wide receiver in terms of average annual value in the NFL today. He got a $120 million deal over 4 years. He got $77 million guaranteed. So with that in mind, and us being a month out from Calvin Ridley signing a four-year $92 million deal where he got $46 million. If you saw St. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown get $77 million and you signed Calvin Ridley for $46 million, grade the Calvin Ridley signing a month after the fact with that contract in mind of Amon-Ra St. Brown. Let me see how many times I can say it without screwing it up. We will talk about it together on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. All you got to do is give me a grade right after I remind you that the Primetime Program is presented by the Ashton Real Estate Group of RE/MAX Advantage. Go to GaryAshton.com and get your dream address without the stress. The intel edge you need to succeed can be found with the official real estate agent of the Nashville Predators, who won last night. Congratulations to the Preds. They're evened up in their playoff series. I know Gary is going to be in attendance on Friday and on Sunday because games 3 and 4 are back here in Smashville, and we're very excited about that. GaryAshton.com for that intel edge you need to succeed. Okay, so grade the Calvin Ridley deal a month after he signed it with Amon-Ra St. Brown's contract in mind. Stephen King says an A. Billy Jones says A+. Derek says an A. Let's see. Granted, he doesn't find a bet MGM, says Todd Woodward, talking about his gambling situation. An A+ is what he is saying, provided that he doesn't find the nearest bet MGM lounge or something like that, or Zen Sports Sportsbook, right? Let's see. I saw somebody give it a C. Jeff Rubel says C. Titans still overpaid for a 30-year-old wide receiver. He will be 30 by the time the season starts. Or not by the time the season starts, but he will be 30 in this coming season. He's 29 right now. Did they overpay? Yes, they overpaid for Calvin Ridley. Do I care? No, I'd still give it an A. You almost always overpay on these second contracts if they're good enough players. Now, is Calvin Ridley a good enough player? I think so. I think he's good enough for the overpay. You know why? Because you don't have shit else. DeAndre Hopkins is the only saving grace of this offense right now. The only saving grace of this offense right now before they sign Tony Pollard, before they sign Calvin Ridley, before they sign Lloyd Cushenberry. It's just D-Hop and maybe a little Tajay Spears that I feel good about. Peter Skoronski is just a big old fat, I don't mean a big old fat question mark, but to imply something about the offensive lineman because he's, you know, he's built like a superhero. But it's really just Hopkins and Spears to me. Those are the only viable options, the only viable weapons that you have on this offense. So if the Titans have no players good enough for them to overpay to keep in-house, then why shouldn't they overpay to go out and get somebody else's good players? Is it an overpay? Yes. Do I give a shit? Not a single solitary one, because they don't have any good players on their roster worth overpaying, and that is what you see reflected in the Snead contract after the trade for him. You see it reflected in the you see that reflected in the Calvin Ridley deal. You see that reflected in the Lloyd Cushenberry deal. Overpaying doesn't mean anything to me, because overpaying in a year from now will not look like an overpay. You know why? Because the salary cap's going to keep going up, because you know what you can't get enough of? Football. And all of the television networks and all of the live streaming platforms like Netflix and Prime and Apple TV and everybody else that wants to get it on the live sports game is just going to send this up further and further, the price tags up further and further on the product, which is only going to make the salaries rise in the NFL. Mash says, stop cussing. My mom is watching. Well, respectfully to you and your mother, Mash, don't give a shit. It's an internet show. If you're not adult enough to be able to handle some language, then I would tell you that this is not the show for you or your mother, but I appreciate both of you spending your time here with us on this, this drafty. Bert wants to know what your mom looks like. That's what he just said to me in our private chat. Pervert, get yourself together. I apologize. Is it Mama Mash? We'll call you Mama Mash in the meantime. Heath says, did the show start at 7:30 Central? No, it starts at 7 p.m. Central. Now, I believe we got off the ground at about 7:07 at this point. So yeah, we love the new time. I love the new time. It sounds like you guys like the new time as well, and we appreciate it. So glad to know that everybody is working, or that this is amenable to everybody. Makes me very, very happy. So how would you grade it? I don't know that I would get an A. I'd give it an A-. I think Calvin Ridley makes this offense infinitely better. I think it gives Brian Callahan a legit versatile piece to move around in his offense and allows Hopkins to be in a more natural role for him, though Hopkins is still versatile. You don't have to put so much burden on DeAndre. I think it makes your quarterback better. I think it's, you know, for all intents and purposes, provided that there's not a complete and total flame out and that he doesn't, you know, tear something, God forbid, before he plays a game in year one, I think it's an A-. I think it's completely good where they're at. And like I said, that you can't overpay in the NFL when the contracts, I mean, you can, but the contracts don't mean anything even a year removed, because it's all monopoly money. It just doesn't mean anything. B-Friend says, it's an effing wolf pit in here, mama. Yeah, that's right. We keep it hostile around here on the primetime show. The morning show can do all the happy stuff and all the, you know, sunshine and rainbows and butterflies and what do they do, good news and all that kind of stuff. No, we like to point and laugh at each other around here. That's what makes the two shows different, which is why I think you guys are able to consume both of them the way that you want to. All right, so let's wrap things up with rising or falling. Whose stock rose, whose stock fell this week in sports? We'll talk about it together on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and on Twitch right after I remind you that the Primetime program is presented by TrueMath Fitness in the Gulch. Go to TrueMathFitness.com for your first workout free. No workout is ever recycled or repeated. TrueMath is just there to get you to maximize whatever your fitness goals are. You don't have to turn into an Ironman. You don't have to be out there running marathons or become a triathlete or whatever the case may be. It's never that intense, right? If you just want to improve your physical fitness, if you want to improve how you're sleeping, working out is good for that. If you want to improve your mood, working out is good for that. If you want to improve just generally your lifestyle, Working out is good for that, and True Math Fitness will put you in position with workouts that are designed for any level of fitness. If you want to take it up a notch, they've got personal training. If you want to work out on your own pace or at your own pace, you can sign up for a membership at truemathfitness.com and work out in their facility as you please. It's state of the art. It's top of the line, and it's conveniently located in downtown Nashville in the Gulch. truemathfitness.com for that first workout free as a Middle Tennessee resident. Okay, so rising and falling. Whose stock rose? Whose stock fell this week in sports? Adam Pace says, Poipel, his stock rose. Is that still lurking around here somewhere, Bert? Do you still have that clip? Hit. Which defensive player stands to benefit most from the coaching change? Poipel, Neupel. I still hate that clip. He got me. Poipel got me. He got me good every time. Got me real good. It was brilliantly executed. B-Friend says, Bert, the graphics look good today, by the way. Bert doesn't do any damn graphics. You don't have anything to do with the graphics. You know who makes the graphics? I make the graphics. So tell me that I did a good job on the graphics, B-Friend. Get out of here with Bert. Bert just sits there and bothers me and says nasty things in the background. Adam Pace says, Poipel, Neupel. Never gets old. Yeah, I get it. Whose stock rose? Whose stock fell? Roy L. Wright says the Preds announcers calling the Preds game were so biased for Vancouver they sucked. On TV? What broadcast are you watching? I love Chris Mason and Willie Donick, but I would never accuse them of being anything but biased for Nashville. I don't think that the Bally Sports crew is any kind of. Was it on a different channel that I don't know about? Because now I know I have cable, and not a lot of you have cable in the modern age. So I understand that there might be an alternate broadcast, or there are other broadcasts of the Preds playoff games that I'm not aware of. Roy, you're saying that Donick and Chris Mason, the Preds broadcast team, were biased in favor of Vancouver? Oh, I strongly disagree that is. Oh, okay. So it wasn't, it's also on ESPN2. Okay. I wasn't aware of that. Sorry. I misunderstood. So they're showing Preds games on ESPN2 as well as Bally Sports. All right. So I watch it on Bally Sports. One, because they're local. Two, because they're my friends and I want to support them. And three, because they do the best job. They know the team better than anybody else. It's like listening to Mike Keith and Coach Mack on Titans radio. Like I wouldn't want the ESPN announcers, I guess at a certain point, like there are good people doing play-by-play for national networks, but you know, I'd rather just listen to the Bally Sports crew the whole way through. So I don't know if you don't have cable, if you can't get Bally Sports, I'm not sure what the situation on that. I know some people have issues with like things, Preds games being blacked out if they don't have Bally or something to that effect, but I know that it's a little complicated. Anyway, so, whose stock rose, whose stock fell this week? There's a couple of nominees that we could have pulled from, but I think that the person whose stock rose the most that makes me feel good about where they're at with things is the Reggie Bush situation. The Reggie Bush they're not re-awarding him his Heisman, but they're just giving it back to him. Reggie Bush's Heisman was stolen from him many, many years ago. Because the rules were different in college football, and Reggie Bush, even by that standard, was robbed of his Heisman trophy after he won it. And in the modern era where the NCAA doesn't mean anything and it's the wild, wild west and college athletes can get not only paid, but they can get private planes and all kinds of other stuff like Quinn Ewers at Texas, this is a golden age for athletes trying to capitalize on their name, image, and likeness. And it is good to see Reggie Bush, who is one of the greatest Heisman Trophy winners, finally get his trophy back. long overdue. Congratulations to Reggie Bush. That video courtesy of ESPN. Caleb Meadows says, in a week's time, the Heisman Committee sent out condolences to OJ Simpson, and rightfully gave Reggie Bush back his Heisman. What a week for them. Yes, it is a it's a long overdue situation. I saw people like, I mean, and Johnny Manziel is not he's not a perfect messenger, right? But Manziel getting out there on Twitter and saying that he's going to boycott the Heisman Trophy ceremony if they didn't give Reggie his shit back, that's not inconsequential. That means something. Johnny Football won the most important award for the best player in college football. And there's a handful, there's a good many of them that are still alive, still with us, to represent the Heisman Trophy on that stage. But you don't want to, there's not that many of them. You don't want to piss that many of them off if you can help it. And a lot of people thought that the way that Reggie Bush was done, was wrong. So congratulations to Reggie. Good to see. Stock up, Heisman Trophy Committee and Reggie Bush as well. All right, that's going to do it. It's the last primetime show of the week, but of course, there will still be more content. Radio show. Tomorrow, Diana Rossini of The Athletic. Tomorrow, Mike Herndon of PaulKuharsky.com. On Friday, Coach Dave McGinnis and former Titans head coach Jeff Fisher are both going to be in studio together, which is going to be excellent. We're excited about that. That is how we will react to the first round with Fish. And with Mac, that will be great. So make sure if you're not already subscribed to the radio show on the podcast app, or if you listen to it live from 10 to 1 on 104.5 The Zone, or even if you want to watch it, because they'll be in studio, so we'll have it live stream for you. Subscribe to 104.5 The Zone on YouTube as well, if you are one of our YouTube viewers. And if you are a YouTube viewer, make sure you like the video for me on the way out the door. Have fun at the draft. I'll be at the facility tomorrow. I'll see all your tweets. I can't wait to cover it for you. It's going to be an electric night, and certainly we'll have a bunch of different places to talk about it after they finally make the pick. See you guys next time on Primetime on Sunday evening.
Go home! Go home! Go home! You're embarrassing Nashville. Go home! Yeah.